This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello there, friends, and I'd like to thank you for joining us for today's Armor of God telecast. You know, just the other day, I was sitting down by myself just thinking about how much of our lives seem to be predetermined for us. You know, as the saying goes, and I'm sure you're familiar with this saying, that we are born into a ready-made world, that sometimes we walk through life never giving any kind of consideration to what we believe, what we think, and whether or not there's any validation to the belief systems that we have. We just kind of step into this world, and we kind of just go with what we know, so to speak. And I was sitting here thinking about just how much of our lives seem to be directed on a daily basis. I mean, let's just think about the daily aspect of life. You know, the mundane things in life that we go through. Just traveling outside of our homes as we get into the car, I'm sure all of us here are well aware that there are signs everywhere in our society that are for the purpose and serve the purpose of directing our paths to make sure that we're going in the right direction or that we don't cause ourselves or others any kind of unfortunate harm. Think about this for a second. We have stop signs that we have to follow. If we don't, there's a danger in that. There are yield signs. There are signs that dictate one-way travel only. Now, these signs help us to stay on the road, so to speak. Now, speaking about this topic, you think about how much of our religious beliefs oftentimes are predetermined as well. We have conversations with people. They sometimes ask us what our belief system is. Sometimes it comes up in conversation with family and friends. And we all have all these different ideas about what we believe religiously. But do we have any way to validate that what we believe is, in fact, the right path to follow? Let's think about this for a minute because it bears some consideration to make sure that we're doing and following the right way of life. I mean, there are all kinds of signs out there that people look to. As a matter of fact, I'm reminded of that old song. You might remember it. Sign, sign, everywhere there's a sign. Everybody seems to be seeking a sign to make sure that they're doing and following the right path in life. I mean, consider even the superstitious people out there. They're out there in the world. Sometimes they see signs in everything. Sometimes driving down the road, they will see numbers repeated on license plates or on billboards, or they'll see signs in the way that they put their creamer in their coffee and the shapes that it forms. There's all kinds of superstitious beliefs out there, and everybody thinks that it's a sign from God. And what is God trying to teach us? Well, friends, I'm here to tell you, and the Bible can validate this fact, and even history itself can validate this fact, that religion is not separate from that. In other words, there are religions out there that are seeking signs to validate what they believe. Now, I want to go over some of those for us today to show us some of the signs that some religions are looking at to happen in the future, looking for validation of their belief systems, and hopefully show you how Christianity, how the true Messiah reveals himself through one specific sign and promise that he gave mankind, that he has not deviated from, that he has kept, and that assures us that we're on the right path to salvation. You know, to make sure that we're headed in the right direction. Let's take a look at some of these signs, okay? Let's take a look at some of these religions. In the Hindu religion, they're expecting the sign of the reincarnation of their God, not the first time, but the ninth time. And their God's name is Avatar Kalki. That's Avatar Kalki. So they're still seeking a sign. They're still seeking that sign. Confucianism, the Latinized version of Kung Tse, he was venerated after his death. and deified after his death, they still seek a sign from him in his return. However, friends, before I get any further in today's program, I'd like to pause right now and make an offering available to you free of charge from the Church of God International that goes specifically with the topic that we're talking about today. Now, the first item of interest that I'd like to make available to you through today's program is a booklet entitled 3 Days and Three Nights. Now, what is 3 Days and Three Nights have to do with validating our beliefs in Jesus Christ? Well, friends, there are some statements that Christ makes in the Scriptures here that will lead us to that truth. That Jesus said the sign that he would give mankind as a validation to his Messiahship is 3 days and three nights in the grave. And in fact, there is some controversy within Christianity that sometimes can derail us from the facts. And that will cover a lot of those questions that we might have regarding 3 days and three nights. How do we calculate 3 days and three nights? Well, it's all in there. And what are the implications if he did keep 3 days and three nights as he promised, if he wasn't resurrected at that time? You'll see that there's a grave consequence to that as well. In addition to that, please feel free to call in or go to the website and ask for a CD that's titled The Sign of Jonah. Some of you may remember Jonah went to a great city by the name of Nineveh. And God's message to the city of Nineveh was that they should repent. And as a result of Jonah's not wanting to adhere to God's will and to follow what he wanted him to do, to go into the right direction that he was choosing for Jonah and to deliver the message that he had for Jonah, remember, God prepared a great fish, not a whale, but a fish to swallow him. And he was in the belly of this great fish 3 days and three nights. And how does that correlate to the sign of Christ's Messiahship? You're going to see that they're very much intertwined together and very much related to each other. I want to give you some information to make this literature available to you today. First, if you'd like to, you can pick up the phone and you can call, you can dial 888-578-8791. Once again, that's 888-578-8791. Or if you'd like, you can visit us on the web, the World Wide Web. That's www.cgi.org. And if you'd like to write us with any questions you have regarding today's topic or today's program, you can simply write us at info@cgi.org. And don't forget that every Saturday we also have a webcast made available to you. Now, the times for that webcast are going to be specifically located on the web. So please do go to the web and check out the time schedule for that weekly webcast. I'm sure you'll be edified by doing so. But back to today's topic. This question of the only messianic sign and how people in society today continue to seek for a sign to validate what they believe. There was a sign given to mankind. While most of the religious world out there awaits a sign, we talked about some of those signs that people are looking for. And there's more that we could go over today, but I'm going to leave it at that for today. Christianity itself is unique in this one regard. Christianity believes, we here at the Church of God International believe wholeheartedly, that we have already seen the fulfillment of the only sign that was ever given to mankind. The sign and the promise of our Messiah that validated who and what he is, what he's going to do, the 3 days and three nights in the grave. As we go through this, you'll see this come to the surface. Because there is some controversy over this time frame of 3 days and three nights that we have to go over. Because remember, we want to make sure that we're headed in the right direction, that we're following the right path. Turn to your scriptures. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, please. And I'd like to turn to a set of scriptures here that you're probably already familiar with, but it behooves us to revisit today. The scriptures that I would like to look at today are found in the book of Mark. This is where we're going to start out. Mark chapter 16. And as we go through Mark chapter 16, we're just going to read a few verses. We're going to read verses 11 through 19 and show us how, even early on in the disciples of Christ, how they didn't fully understand what this sign was and really what it meant, especially when you consider the post-resurrection scene and how they're confused, how they really didn't understand what he was talking about, what he talked about, this sign that he was going to give us. In verse 9 of Luke chapter 16, we begin here breaking into the context. Now, When he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven demons. Now, when you read this verse of scriptures here, it almost sounds like that he rose on the first day of the week. But as we go through this, and as you read the materials and listen to the materials that we made offered, made available to you today through the offering, you'll see that he was resurrected before the first day of the week. But we'll get into that a little bit later. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. They did not believe the report of her when she said that the Messiah was not in his tomb, that he was resurrected, because they could not really fully at this point understand the things that Jesus Christ spoke to them, had not been revealed to them at this time. We'll just go down here to verse 13. When they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11, that's the other apostles, as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now, in this scripture here, we'll notice that there is a tendency in mankind to not really take issue with the historicity of the resurrection of Christ so much, but the controversy comes in when we talk about the supernatural. You know, we as Christians, those of us who are Christians, and those of us who may be seeing this program who may be an unbeliever, or even some of you who may be a scoffer regarding Jesus Christ, you know, there's one thing that we all have in common. There's one thing that we can draw a line of commonality between us. You know, we can believe and understand through history that Jesus Christ was real, that he lived, he was an historical figure. We can all agree that he died a horrible death through crucifixion. That's a historical fact. That cannot be refuted in sincerity. Okay? The thing that we all have in common, that line that we can, the connection we can make with each other, is this. We can all believe that there is an empty tomb. The tomb of Jesus Christ is empty. The question comes in is, how did that tomb become empty? That's where the controversy comes in. Well, as we go down through this, friends, we're going to see that there are some things that we really need to consider, because in this scripture here, we're reminded of a promise. And that's the promise I want to get to today before we get to the end of today's program. Something that I want to remind us of, this promise. And we got to turn to a scripture here back in the book of Matthew to understand what this promise is. Because on this promise that Jesus Christ gave to his followers, Christianity stands. Or, if his promises are not true, Christianity, friends, falls. And it has no foundations. In other words, Jesus Christ had to fulfill this promise to 100% the way that he put it to us. Let's look at this promise real quick. Let's look at this guarantee that he gave us. And it's found here in the book of Matthew, and other scriptures as well, but specifically the book of Matthew for today. Then some of the scribes, we're going to go through verse 38 here, through verse 41. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Here we go. People in society want to see a sign. They want to have validation to what they're following. They'll make sure they're going into the right direction, asking for a sign. And he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it." Now, if we stop right here and we don't read the rest of the scriptures, we're left to believe that Jesus Christ didn't give us any signs. But as you'll see, he gets real specific in this promise. No sign will be given to it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. Remember I said in the offertory here that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, and he was in there for 3 days and three nights. And Jesus is pointing back to this story in history to show the connection of what he's going to do and the promise that he's going to give us to make sure and to prove that we're in the right direction. What is it? In verse 40 here. "For as Jonah," making a connection to the book of Jonah, "was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Then the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. How important is this sign that he gave us? Well, friends, our very future, our salvation depends on this sign. And if you really consider what that sign is, we have to understand something. That the fulfillment of this prophecy had to be exactly the way that he said that he would fulfill. In other words, he had to fulfill it in every aspect that he promised. You take a look at some of the Greek language that is used here in the scriptures. In verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights," you'll notice that the statement "for as Jonah," "for as," there is a great implication here. Because that word or that phraseology here that is used here to express the connection between the resurrection and Christ and his time in the grave to Jonah has to be perfectly followed through with. The Greek word here is hosper. Hosper. And that Greek word means just as or exactly like Jonah. Just as or exactly like Jonah. And we get a little bit of some controversy that arises out of these scriptures, because most of Christianity, as you know, believes that Jesus was crucified on a Friday and resurrected on a Sunday. That's the belief system. Now, at best, when you look at that belief system, you'll notice that at the best you can get, what, 1.5 days out of that time frame? Well, there are some controversies in the scriptures, or maybe not controversies, but misunderstandings about how time was reckoned. Some people say that Jesus, in using the words that he did here, was speaking in something called Greek idiomatic expression. And that he was speaking as partial days, or he was using a figure of speech, you know, like we do oftentimes. We'll say, you know, break a leg. Or, I'm so hungry that I could eat a horse. These are all idiomatic expressions. However, there's a problem with that belief here when we think that Jesus was using an idiomatic expression here. Because when you consider the Greek grammar rules and the rules of their language and how they the very stringent ways in which they translated and they believed, you know, there is no such thing as a Greek idiomatic expression here. There is no Greek idiomatic expression that exists. And there's something else oftentimes that we overlook that is quite pertinent and relevant to the connection of Jesus Christ being 3 days and three nights in the grave. First thing that we have to consider, Jesus wasn't Greek. Jesus was Hebrew. The scriptures were translated to Greek. Okay? So he wasn't using any Greek idiomatic expression. Now, in addition to that, there's something else that we have to consider. The fact is, Jesus was pointing to a Hebrew story. So if he's using any kind of Hebraic expression, we certainly find that in the rules of grammar in Hebrew, but we don't. There is no Hebraic idiomatic expression for partial days. As a matter of fact, God has drawn out clearly, all the way back to the book of Genesis, how we reckon time. You know, when we hear the phrase 3 days and three nights, don't you think along the lines of all-inclusiveness? And let me explain that. If Jesus was talking about partial days, you know, 12 hours, so to speak, why did he add in the qualifier here? 3 days and three nights. Now, logically, as we think about this, most of us are sitting here thinking to ourselves about what really constitutes a complete day. We have 12 hours of daylight, and we have 12 hours of darkness. You put those two time periods together, and guess what you get? 24 hours. What Jesus was saying here, and he was really being quite clear, giving us a lot of direction on how long he would be in the grave, that he was going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. That's six parts. Three parts of 12 hours of daylight, and you also have three parts of 12 hours of darkness. He was talking about three 24-hour time periods that equals 72 hours. Even if you look at the words here that are used in the Greek to describe day and night, you will see that, in fact, that the Greeks knew how to keep time. The Hebrews knew how to keep time. That when Jesus was speaking 3 days and three nights, he knew what he was saying. So how do people come up with a conclusion, or come to the conclusion, rather, that he was only in the grave for a day and a half? Well, the offerings that we've made available to you today, friends, will clarify a lot of the things that we're talking about today. And again, if Jesus did not follow through with this promise to 100% of this promise, what are the implications to us, friends? Think about this for a second. That he lied? That what he said was going to come true didn't come true? And if that's the case, is that a way to base our direction in life on? Friends, Jesus did not give us an empty promise. He did die. He was in the grave. He did resurrect, as we've just read here. There was a resurrection. The tomb is empty. He was in there for 3 days and three nights, and he kept his promise. What does that mean for us? What are the implications? Well, in contrast to the other part, other side of this, where if he didn't keep his promise, that our foundations of faith are crumbled, what it does to us now is, what it does for us, rather, is by looking at the promise of this resurrection, the fulfillment of that prophecy, and the utterances that he gave us here in the book of Matthew and in other places, guess what it does for us? It validates. It proves. It gives us evidence. Friends, that in fact, the direction we are going and following Christ is in fact the right direction that we should be going in. Yeah, there's a lot of scoffers out there. Yeah, there's people out there that attack the supernatural. I mean, you take a look at some of the miracles that Jesus performed in his lifetime. You know, the Bible says that he performed so many works and so many miracles that if they wrote all those miracles and all those signs that he performed down, that even the books of the world would not be able to contain everything that he did that was miraculous. Unfortunately, what people do nowadays is they don't attack the historicity of Christ. They don't attack him as an historical figure so much. But you know what they do? You know what people do? They attack the supernatural. Oh yeah, we remember the story when Jesus Christ fed thousands with a few loaves of bread, or fed thousands with some fishes, or he healed a paralytic man, or a woman with an issue of blood, or yeah, that he walked on water. You know, oftentimes people will attack the supernatural like that, and they will say, well, yeah, we can explain the miracles of healing, well, because of the placebo effect, right? That there wasn't really a healing, but they were just emotionally overcharged, and somehow it only seemed like they were healed. Or that when Jesus miraculously fed thousands with just a meager amount of food, that it wasn't really a miracle that occurred. What it really does, it just spawned people to give more, and people were fed off of what other people had in the group. Attacking the supernatural. Well, friends, once again, our lives oftentimes seem predetermined. We go through life never questioning what we believe, who we believe in. We never consider whether or not we have any validation to that belief system. It's something that we're just born into. The result of that is, friends, oftentimes we take for granted our life and the direction we're headed in. However, those of us who follow Jesus Christ, we can be certain that what we believe in, and who we believe in more importantly, a resurrected Messiah, the one who said that he was going to offer us salvation to bring change to this world, Jesus, the Messiah, is real. He is who he says he is, and he's going to do everything that he said that he's going to do. How do we know that? Because he fulfilled a promise. The promise of the sign of Jonah. That he would live, that he would die, that he would be in the grave, not a day and a half, as tradition says, but 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. Friends, thank you for joining me today for today's telecast. But stay tuned, because I'm turning this over to my colleague for some closing comments.
Well, that was quite a program that Tony gave us today. And he said something that really caught my attention that I want to kind of go back and revisit. He said, signs predetermine our lives. And they really do. I mean, when you think about it, signs really do encroach on our behavior. There's signs for everything, my friends. Sign to go left, a sign to go right, a sign for the women's room, a sign for the men's room. All kinds of signs attempting to try to regulate our behavior. And the sign of Jesus Christ is a sign that regulates our relationship with God. And many people wrestle with that. No doubt about it. For an individual to claim that he has come back from the dead, and the sign would be 3 days and 3 nights, and you must accept that sign, and in so doing accept his messiahship, is indeed a hard sign to accept. Even the Apostle Paul found that out in the book of Acts chapter 26. You can read there the story of how he went round and round with the audience he was contending with there, trying to explain to them and persuade them that Jesus did in fact rise from the dead, and that he was alive today at the right hand of God the Father. It is a very difficult sign to wrestle with and accept oftentimes, and people don't accept it that easily. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote down for us again another record over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me just read real quickly here. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, he says, "For I delivered unto you," the Apostle Paul writing now, "first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And then he proceeds and says how Peter saw him, literally, visually saw him, how over 500 people visually saw him, literally saw him, and his half-brother James later on also saw him because of a visitation that Jesus made to him after he was alive and after being dead for 3 days and 3 nights. Won't you let us help you to better understand this truth? Dial now 888-578-8791. Ask the operator, my friends, for the booklet, 3 days and 3 nights, and the CD, 1 hour presentation titled Signs of Jonah. Both of them will help you to better understand the details of which we want you to really come to recognize and appreciate. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.